From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch has filed or joined 35 lawsuits against the Trump administration. A federal appeals court just threw out the big one that alleged the president violates the Constitution when he gets profits from the Trump Hotel. Frosch argues many of the challenges have succeeded, and he contends they don't keep his office's lawyers from taking on big local problems, like the nursing home company he sued after it evicted a cancer patient with a tracheotomy when her insurance switched to much lower reimbursement.
So they put her in a car with someone who took her to an unlicensed assisted living facility. They took her benefits card and were using it. She figured out how to turn it off. When she did, they physically abused her and dropped her at a homeless shelter.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Maryland's Attorney General Brian Frosch has made vigorous use of the powers the General Assembly gave him 2.5 years ago to sue the federal government. Mostly in coalition with other state attorneys general, he has sued the Trump administration about 36 times over pesticides, greenhouse gases, airplane noise pollution, immigration, and many other issues. The suit that attracted the most national attention was the one he filed in 2017 with Washington, D.C.'s Attorney General Carl Racine, alleging that by receiving profits from the Trump Hotel in Washington, the president is violating the U.S. Constitution's ban on accepting emoluments. 4 weeks ago, a federal appeals court dismissed that lawsuit. It seemed like a good point to talk to Attorney General Frosch about his track record, and he agreed. Welcome back to On the Record.
It's good to be here, Sheila.
When the three-judge panel of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond ruled last month that you did not have standing to complain about the Trump Hotel profits, you said you'd probably appeal to the full Fourth Circuit. Have you done that?
We haven't done it. The deadline isn't up quite yet, and we have two choices. We can ask the full Fourth Circuit to rehear the case, or we can go right to the Supreme Court. And while we're leaning in the direction of an en banc review, which is all of the judges of the Fourth Circuit, we haven't quite jumped off the cliff yet.
Jumped off the cliff. That doesn't sound very optimistic.
Oh, I think there's great cause for optimism. I think the three-judge panel's decision was just flat out wrong. One of the things that they concede in a backhanded way is that if we don't have standing to raise these issues, then nobody does. The issue is the nation's original anti-corruption law. The Constitution prohibits the president from taking any payments from foreign states, foreign princes, and the like, and it prohibits the president from getting anything other than the U.S. from the U.S. government other than his salary. And, of course, he can't take payments from individual states either. And the reason for all of this is the framers of the Constitution wanted to ensure that the president was acting in our interests and not trying to enrich himself or take advantage of the office of the president for himself. And Donald Trump has violated those provisions on a daily basis since he was sworn in.
President Trump, of course, celebrated the ruling in a tweet, quote, "Word just out that I won a big part of a deep state and Democrat-induced witch hunt." And he went on, "I don't make money but lose a fortune for the honor of serving and doing a great job as your president, including accepting zero salary," exclamation point, close quote. So is this a setback?
Well, it's a setback for us. Yeah, we won flat out in the district court, and these three judges in the Fourth Circuit reversed that ruling. So
they
it's
said
a
you
setback.
Didn't that you didn't have standing.
Right.
That essentially, you hadn't shown Maryland and D.C. are hurt by whatever you're alleging.
Right. That is what they found. We think they're wrong. I mean, we have very direct interests. Let me say that Maryland has an interest that is unlike that of most other states and the District of Columbia, and that is we're one of the 13 colonies or states that ceded jurisdiction to the United States. And in exchange for that, ceded sovereignty, and in exchange for that, we got a chief executive who was supposed to be unbiased and unable to be corrupted. And that was what the emoluments clauses were all about. So we argued in the district court that we had standing for that reason, if none other. But we have standing, and standing, by the way, for folks who are not lawyers, is just who has the right to come to court to vindicate the interests that are at stake. Here we have what traditionally qualifies for standing in court. Namely, we have economic interests that are impacted by Donald Trump's hotel, and we have interests because our citizens who own businesses are also impacted and impacted adversely by the competition from the Trump Post Office Hotel.
Competition that you say is because he is president. Business get just because he's president.
I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean,
although the court said there was. The three-judge panel said maybe there are people staying away from the Trump Hotel, and your hotels in Maryland are getting more business.
They did. It was one of the more bizarre statements in the opinion, because that's totally irrelevant. The president's not allowed to receive a payment. It doesn't matter if he's missing payments. It's not a question of his net benefit or net loss. It's a question, did he get a nickel from Saudi Arabia? Well, as a matter of fact, he's gotten millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia. He's gotten millions of dollars from other countries through the Trump Post Office Hotel and, of course, through his other properties around the United States. And specifically with respect to the District of Columbia in Maryland, there are hotels, there are restaurants, there are bars that compete with the Trump Post Office Hotel. And if they lose one customer, one drink, one appetizer, that's a violation of the Emoluments Clause.
That's Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about lawsuits he has led or joined against the Trump administration. You have led or joined 35 lawsuits. Last year, a suit alleging one of the challenging one of the president's travel bans was also dismissed. Any others that have been dismissed?
Well, let me point out on the Muslim ban, his first two executive orders were struck down by the courts. The third iteration, where he threw in North Korea and Venezuela as part of the bans, were upheld by the Supreme Court ultimately. So I wouldn't consider that a loss. We won two out of three, I guess you could say.
Have you out and out won any of your suits against the Trump administration?
Yes, we've won a bunch. We've won the Betsy DeVos, his Secretary of Education, has refused to implement several Obama regulations, one that provides debt relief to student loan borrowers who have taken out loans to go to predatory for-profit institutions, and the for-profit institutions have gone belly up. And the regulations that were in place said that the U.S. government would forgive those loans. And Betsy DeVos has refused to do that, causing untold hardship for thousands and thousands of people across the country, mostly people of little means. And we won that one. Now they're trying to rewrite that rule to find another way around it. We've won most of the other lawsuits that we've brought. Some are not final. And in many, in environmental protection, in the area of environmental protection, we win the lawsuit and then they say, okay, we're going to redo that rule. And they go through a multi-year process to try to go around it. A good example is the chemical accident safety rule. That's a rule that said that if you're a business that is manufacturing or storing toxic chemicals, you need to tell your neighbors what you got. you need to tell the police, the firefighters, the EMTs, all the first responders who might have to come in and clean up a mess, put their own lives at risk, you got to tell them what they're dealing with. And Trump's Environmental Protection Agency refused to implement that law. We sued them. We won. I'm sure they're trying now to try to figure out how they can avoid implementing that rule, because for reasons that are unfathomable to me, they think that the neighbors and the EMTs ought to bear the risk. And there are a number of others as well, but those are two pretty good examples.
One of your environmental challenges to the Trump administration is about seismic testing
Yes.
for oil. And I was kind of surprised when I read that you're leading, you were the lead
Yes.
plaintiff, because what does that have to do with Maryland?
What Trump proposes to do is to open up the East Coast to offshore oil drilling. And the first step in that direction is seismic testing, and let me come back to that in a minute. But Maryland has a huge stake in keeping our waters and our shores clean from oil. You know, the Chesapeake Bay, which is the largest estuary in the U.S., flushes very slowly, but 50% of its water comes from the Atlantic Ocean. And if you pollute that with oil, you can ruin the Chesapeake Bay for good. And the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay is one of the areas that they have proposed to lease. You know, female crabs migrate to the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay to spawn every year. And you don't need a catastrophic spill like the ones we've seen in the Gulf of Mexico. You just need some moderate spills to coat the top of the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay for a while to kill the entire young of the year population of Chesapeake blue crabs. It's just a minor example of how routine oil drilling activities could have an adverse impact on the bay. So the first step before you start drilling is to see where the oil is, and they do this by seismic testing. They drag arrays of air cannons behind ships, and these cannons go off once every 10 seconds. And the Marine Mammal Protection Act says that you can't do anything that would have more than an incidental rate of harm for dolphins, whales, and porpoises. And one scientist described seismic testing to be like having a stick of dynamite go off in your living room once every 10 seconds. So the seismic testing is very dangerous, violates the Marine Mammal Protection Act, and it's a precursor to offshore drilling. So we are leading a coalition of East Coast states to fight it.
How much of the resources, your resources as Attorney General, go into lawsuits against the Trump administration?
Well, with respect to how much does it cost the taxpayers, not very much. We've hired one person full-time to engage in these lawsuits. But we have folks in other positions who help out. They have full-time jobs, but they work on these as well. We have a couple of people who work full-time on environmental issues, and they're paid for by the State Impact Center at New York University Law School.
Okay, and that may be why your Republican opponent last fall, Craig Wolf, in the election last fall, which I note you won with 65%.
Yeah.
But Wolf argued you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're pulling resources away from local Maryland priorities to work on these federal challenges.
As I pointed out, we're not spending a lot of money on it.
But if you're pulling, if you're using the time of lawyers that you would have other good work to do, we're going to talk about some of it later.
Yeah. Well, they're continuing to do all that good work. They're working harder. I think, you know, the causes that we are taking on are critical to the United States, to all Americans, and they're critical to Marylanders, protecting their health, protecting their environment, protecting consumers.
I understand that Democratic state attorneys general have a weekly conference call, Tuesday mornings, I heard. How do you decide what makes sense to take on?
Well, I don't think those decisions are made on those phone calls, but people do talk about issues of the day. For us, It's a question of whether there's an important constitutional issue at stake, an important right for Marylanders, an economic cost to the state of Maryland. There are not most, but several of the lawsuits that we've brought that the Hogan administration agrees with. I mean, we've sued the EPA because our upwind neighbors in the Midwest, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Ohio, et cetera, are polluting our air. They have industries, they have power plants that belch pollution that ultimately finds its way to Baltimore and the rest of our state, cause health problems for us, economic problems for us, and EPA refuses to make them adjust. They have the scrubbers on their plants. They just don't turn them on, and EPA won't make them turn them on, so we're suing them to force them to clean our air.
Have any of your challenges to the Trump administration been filed bipartisan with Republican state attorneys general?
No. I don't think the Republicans have been willing to engage, even when their interests are adversely impacted. They're quite silent for the most part. Now, I will say that South Carolina has intervened separately in our lawsuit to stop seismic testing. So while they didn't join us, and I can understand why as a political matter that may be touchy, they are in the lawsuit and making the same arguments that we're making.
We need to pause here in our conversation with Attorney General Brian Frosch. When we're back, some of his more local legal fights. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. When news broke last week about a big data breach at Capital One, the national bank and credit card issuer, the Maryland Attorney General issued a consumer alert. The week before that, the Maryland Attorney General announced a $600 million settlement of a massive data breach in 2017 by the credit reporting agency Equifax. Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch is our guest this morning. How did Maryland come to be leading the national investigation into the Equifax data breach?
I think we were out early. We have good people, and they were on it. And we have a lot of expertise in this subject matter area.
In a nutshell, what happened there?
So Equifax, which, as most people know, is a consumer reporting agency or credit reporting agency, collects our information. We don't do business with them, but they collect our birthdays, our social security numbers, our driver's license numbers, and they check up on us when we want to take a loan or somebody does a credit check on us. And they failed to protect this data. There was a security patch in their software that they were advised to make. They failed to do it, left it open for quite a long time, and some hacker figured it out and got the personal information of about 148 million Americans. And while it didn't and doesn't necessarily cause immediate harm, it makes all of us more vulnerable to identity theft.
So in addition to the restitution, I understand $6 million in Maryland of restitution. In addition to that, what else does Equifax have to do?
So the $6 million is a penalty. It's $5.7 million is a penalty paid to the state of Maryland. There is also a consumer restitution fund of $425 million. $175 million in penalties to the states, $425 million in consumer restitution. And I would advise every Marylander to check this out. You can go on the web, or you can come to our website. I think it's EquifaxBreachSettlement.com.
We will link to that link from our website.
Great. You will then see, you'll get a menu of choices that you can make. You can get credit monitoring from Equifax for 10 years. You can take a one-time $125 payment and show that you've spent so many hours trying to fix the problems that they've created. So I would recommend to everybody in the state, look at that, make a choice, get some relief that way. I would also recommend for everyone, if you're not about to open a new credit card account or take out a new loan, freeze your credit. You can call the major credit reporting agencies and freeze your credit for free in Maryland. You can also unfreeze it for free. So you decide next week you want to get a new credit card, unfreeze your credit, and then freeze it after your credit has been checked. And if I may, in Maryland, you can freeze the credit of your minor children. And I would strongly recommend that as well. These thieves can use the identity of a kid for years before anybody finds out about it. So go online, unless you think your 8-year-old needs an American Express card, freeze his or her credit. Do it today. And when one of them turns 18, maybe they need a credit card. You can unfreeze their credit. They can unfreeze their credit.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Brian Frosch, Maryland's Attorney General. Last month, you announced indictments of three people who operate assisted living facilities. They're accused of exploiting their disabled residents.
Right.
What was going on?
So what I'm about to describe are indictments. They're allegations. They have not yet been proved. But we indicted three individuals for running unlicensed assisted living facilities. They had townhouses. And they put people up in their townhouses, often in crowded conditions. In one case, no air conditioning. Our warrants were executed on a day when it was 96 degrees on the street and probably even hotter in the house. There are in some of the places there were bed bugs and rodents, and people aren't getting treatment. They may have medication, but the people who are running these facilities aren't helping them with their health issues. In some cases, they're not even feeding them. But they were charging up to $3,000 per month for the privilege of staying in one of these places. All of that's illegal. It's unhealthy. And I think when we executed search warrants on three places a couple of weeks ago, we found 14 residents who were in these three facilities. And we were very well served by Adult Protective Services, who had a number of people with us when we went in and were able to take these vulnerable adults and find better placements for them.
And you found out about them because of an earlier investigation into patient dumping?
Yes. So we investigated and brought charges against a nursing home chain called NMS Nursing Home. There are five of them. They represented about 2% of the nursing home beds in the state, and yet accounted for 70% of the involuntary discharges or evictions. And we alleged that they were throwing people out when their Medicare benefits ran out and when they cycled on to Medicaid benefits.
Which are lower.
Much lower, about half as much. And there was one woman in particular whom I remember who was suffering from an advanced stage cancer. She had lost about 40% of her body weight. She weighed about 85 pounds. She had a tracheostomy. She had difficulty walking, difficulty talking. And they said when she went from Medicare to Medicaid benefits, you're out. And she said, wait a minute, I'm entitled to be here. They said, you don't leave, we're going to call the cops. So they put her in a car with someone who took her to an unlicensed assisted living facility. This woman was from West Virginia. She'd never been to Baltimore. That's where she ended up. They took her benefits card and were using it. She figured out how to turn it off. When she did, they physically abused her and dropped her at a homeless shelter. And fortunately, the homeless shelter had the good sense to take her immediately to the emergency room, saved her life. But that led to those evictions and led to the investigation of unlicensed assisted living facilities. I will say now that NMS is out of business. They paid a $2.2 million fine and agreed never to get back in the nursing home business in the state of Maryland.
Is this a tip of an iceberg? I mean, how widespread do you think these kinds of problems are?
I'm afraid they are widespread. It's an issue that we continue to look at. We don't think we've cleaned up the whole state by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's quite widespread. You have people who are vulnerable, of limited means, and who don't have family, and they fall prey to these kinds of schemes.
I appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Brian Frosch has been Attorney General of Maryland since 2015. We have links to more information about some of the issues we discussed at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. On the Record's director and engineer is Nathan Sterner. Maureen Harvey and Melissa Gear produced the program. John Ahrens wrote and recorded the On the Record theme music. Izzy Hedelman is our intern. I'm your host, Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.